Well, praise God. It's already been a wonderful service. We could just close it right now and be blessed. Amen. But today, I'm going to minister, trying to figure out how I want to say this. You know, I'm kind of a unique person. And unlike a lot of ministers, I don't actually get my sermons off the internet. Usually my sermons come from experience or something that's gone on in life, or something that I was watching and I just thought about something. So this is kind of ironic to say this, but I was watching TV show or something, the other day, about a month ago, and one of the actors said something. He said, "For the love of Jesus," and then he said some kind of derogatory thing about that. And all of a sudden, instead of getting mad like I do sometimes when people talk about kind of use the Lord's name in vain, I started thinking about the love of Jesus and how much He does love us and how much He does care about us, and what the love of Jesus really means. And actually for the last few weeks, I've been really just thinking about the love of Jesus. Some people actually, instead of saying Jesus, they say for the love of God, or they say for the love of Christ. It really all means the same thing, because if you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son. Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 14, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. I'm not going to wait for you to turn there, because we're short on time here. John 14:9, Jesus talking to Philip, he says, Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do." If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. I can kind of relate a little bit, because my oldest son is a splitting image of myself. And in fact, one time we were racing in a certain state, and one of my friends I've known for a long time saw on Facebook I was going to be we were going to race in there, and invited me and my son to meet her and her husband at a restaurant for lunch. And I had dropped off my Cameron, I think he was about 15, 14, and I dropped him off and told him to go get a table. And she called me. It was like a mall type parking lot, so I was like trying to find a close parking place. And she said she was walking in the restaurant, so she was asking how many there were. And I said, "Oh, my son Cameron, he's already in there. And just go find him." She said, "Well, how am I going to find him?" I said, "Well, remember me in high school? You'll find him." So when I walked in, they were actually all sitting at a table already. I said, "You have any trouble finding Cameron?" I said, "No, he looks just like you." And it's interesting, because if you've seen me, you've seen him. And in fact, just this week, I was at the Audi dealership, and the service man, one of the service guys, he actually went to school with Cameron last year, automotive school. And when I walked in, he says, "Well, I know you're Cameron's dad, because you look just like him." But then he also said, "He talks about you all the time." It's interesting, because, see, all Jesus did was talk about his Father all the time. Because if the Son is close to the Father, they talk about him all the time. And it's interesting, when you say for the love of God or for the love of Jesus, it's the same thing. Because all Jesus did was to show forth God's love to this world. And that was the whole reason he came, to show forth God's love. And I think that we need to understand for the love of Jesus more often. And I felt that it would be appropriate on Communion Sunday to talk about for the love of Jesus, for what Jesus did for us. Now, you can't talk about for the love of God or for the love of Jesus without going back to John 3:16, because that's where it really all begins. And I'm going to read that from the New Living Translation once again. John 3:16 through verse 18 says this, "For this is how God loved the world." This is how God loved the world. "He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son." So, you know, Jesus was sent to the world to love the world and to show that God loves the world. You know, he wasn't sent to this world to judge the world. He was sent to love the world. You know, and I know it's we shouldn't have to say this, but sometimes whenever we, or when the church at least thinks about Jesus, they almost think that Jesus came just for the church. But really, Jesus came to have the church. You know, Jesus came for the sinners. He didn't come for the Christians. Now, obviously, there were no Christians because without Christ, there's no Christians. But, you know, we almost think sometimes that, you know, it's all about us. The Christians, you know, the ones that are hopefully doing the right thing. But really, it's all about the world. And I think there's no better example to see 50 flags here. To think about it's all about the world. And it's all about reaching forth to a lost and dying and hurting world. Because right now, at this moment, there are more people on the road to hell than on the road to heaven. According to best estimates, there's roughly 1 billion, give or take a few hundred thousand or so. You know, people who proclaim to be born again Christians. But there are 7 billion people in the world. More than 7 billion actually now. Actually, it's gone up a lot since we've had service started. A few people have died too, so, you know, it has gone down some. But the thing about it is, people are hurting. People are dying. And what they really need is the love of Jesus. Now, you know, it's interesting because Jesus only gave us a few commandments. You know, we like to think about the Ten Commandments, but really we only have two that Jesus gave us whenever he was here. And we'll read that from the Matthew. Actually, you know, before we do that, let's talk about, Acts 10:38. Before I even get to the commandments that Jesus gave. I love this scripture. Acts 10:38, I'm reading from the NLT again. It says, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." You know, it does say that Jesus went around healing people, which that's good. But before that, he said he just did good. He did good because he loved people. Even people that other people didn't really seem to love a whole lot because they didn't really fit the part. You know, they didn't look like church members. They didn't act like church members. They weren't church members. You know, and that's the thing. You know, it is interesting how us as the church, we want to judge people based upon our scale at church. When Jesus came for the people who weren't in the church. But sometimes we're not about those people because they don't look right. They don't act right. They're sinners. No, duh. Jesus came for the sinners. And he didn't come to judge them. You know, sometimes I see a lot of hypocritical Christians on TV talking about how bad people's sin is and things like that. You know, I'm not saying their sin's not bad. I'm not, you know, they might be telling the truth. But it's not about their sin. It's about their Savior. Because, you know, I was raised in church, and you know, but I know some of you weren't. I know some of you are here that were raised heathen. You act heathen. You were heathen. You know, but thank God that somebody got a hold of you and shared the love of Jesus. Because without the love of Jesus, people don't change. You can tell people what the rules are and how much, you know, they need to follow them, but people don't care if you don't care. And my dad has, you know, in his Home and Family series, one of the messages is rules without relationship brings rebellion. And that's what happens. We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about following rules. It's about having a relationship. It's about knowing Jesus. You know, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Let's go back to Matthew 22, verse 36. It says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." You know, when I look at that, whenever I hear that, I'm thinking, "Well, that's the no duh commandment." Obviously, you know, you need to love God. I mean, you should love the Lord. I mean, that's why you're a Christian. Now, he does say love the Lord with all your heart, not part of it. You know, and really, we should give him all our life, not 98% of him. But, you know, the interesting part about it, he says, and the second is like it. He said the second commandment is just like the first one. It says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then he says these words. That's why I like reading from the New King James. It says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Basically, Jesus was saying, if you can't follow these two commandments, it don't matter what you follow. Because it's all about love. It's all about the love of Jesus. It's all about the love of God. You know, and really, if you can't love each other, you can't love God. Because in essence, we're all images of God. We're all made, you know, God made us all. You know, and I know some people, you know, they want to make it literal. Well, I'm okay with my neighbors. No, it's not just about your neighborhood. All right? It's about everybody. Love one another. You know, and I've heard so many Christians have told me that they just have trouble with their love walk. You know, and I wonder if they have trouble being saved too. I mean, I'm being honest, because if we can't love each other, then how do we really love God? And you know, if we don't love each other, how's anyone else going to want to be a Christian? Why would you want to be a Christian? Because the one thing that separates us from the world is that we show forth the love of Jesus. And if we're not showing forth the love of Jesus, then we're just like the world. And the love of Jesus is not condemnation, because that's what the love of God is not condemnation, because that's what John 3:16 says. So if we're showing forth condemnation, then we're not really showing forth the love of God. I don't know what you're showing forth. Because it's not about your anger. It's not about what you think is right. And it's not really about what you deserve. See, we try to grade people on a scale about what they deserve, but you know what? We want to have what we don't deserve. You know, it's not about what we deserve. It's about what we've been given. And what we've been given is eternal life. What we've been given is something that, you know, that we can't even pay for. And what we've been given really is the love of Jesus. And if we want to change the world, it all starts with the love of Jesus. Because really the gospel is all about love. The New Testament is based upon love. It's based upon Jesus coming to love the world. Now, we all have a choice whether we accept him or not. But regardless of whether you ever accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God still loves you. And you need to get that over to your head, that God loves people regardless whether they ever serve him or not. Because it's not about anything, but just about, you know, he loves them that much. That, I mean, you know, and I in order to really, really make it personal, I personally believe if I was the only one on the earth, which would be kind of boring, you know, all Craig all the time, you know, be kind of boring, but if I'm the only one here, Jesus would have came just for me because he loves me that much. And that's what you have to understand, that Jesus loves you that much that he would have come just for you. If it was just you all by yourself singing your song. You know, it's just interesting how much Jesus loves us. You know, we sing about it in children's church. Yes, Jesus loves me. Remember that song? Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. And then the other one, Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight, even when they grow up to be older. Jesus still loves the little children of the world. You know, sometimes some of you might need to sing that song every once in a while to understand that Jesus loves you even when you grow up. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I'm a father. I'm now a grandfather, but I'm also still a child. You know, because I'm my father's child. And so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm. Father Abraham and many sons. That's another song. I'm sorry. See, when I say things, I think songs all the time. I write the songs that nobody sings. And I'm not singing them to you, obviously, because I don't. But for enough money, I might. Make it payable to Hagen Racing. Anyway. All right. John chapter 13 talks about the new commandment. Reading once again from New Living Translation. It says, so now, Jesus talking, it's red letter, my Bible, probably yours too. So now, I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Well, guess what? This is not just a command for his disciples. It's a command for all of us. You know, basically our love for one another will prove to the world that we're his followers, that we follow after Christ. So in order to follow after Christ, you have to show the love of Jesus to the world. Now, showing the love of Jesus isn't giving people a piece of your mind. Yeah, but they need it. Once again, it's not what people need. It's not what they deserve. It's what's been given. You know, and really people don't care what's in your mind anyway. It's not about your mind, unless it's been renewed. See, once you have the mind of Christ, you think how Jesus thinks. You act how Jesus acts. You know, and it is interesting because Jesus didn't just give these commandments, you know, to love one another. He actually did these commandments. All Jesus did was walk around and love people. I mean, you know, when he saw people that were sick, he healed them because he loved them. When he saw people that were hungry, he fed them. And I got to say this. I mean, like I said, once again, I think a lot. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? And it says 5,000 men plus women and children. You know, remember What's it? Two fishes and five loaves. So, you know, they're in the middle of nowhere. Obviously, there are no fast food restaurants anywhere nearby. There were no Quick Trips, which is amazing. You know, obviously, it's not in Tulsa, because in Tulsa, you know, walk a few feet and you'll find one. If you don't find one, you'll find them building one. If you don't know what Quick Trip is, if you go watch us online, it's one of the best convenience stores in the nation, and it's coming to an area near you, because it's... Hey, you never knew. We flew to Canada one time and landed at the airport and got out of the plane, and there was Quick Trip's corporate jet. So who knows? I might take over Canada too. Anyway, but there were no places to get anything to eat. You know, there were no food markets. So they're in the middle of nowhere. Now, how many of you guys go in the middle of nowhere without any food? I don't know about you, but every time I get in the car to take a trip, I go to stop by Quick Trip and get me some candy, something to drink. So can you think there's 5,000 men plus women and children, and nobody else had food except for one kid? Did his parents pack for him? Man, geez, what about other people's parents? Are they not really that mean? You go out in the middle of nowhere and you just starve. We don't care. Come back sometime. Thank God for the love of Jesus. He was able to feed 5,000 plus women and children. Because, you know, he said he saw them, and he could see that they were hungry, and saw that they were, you know, they were lost, and he fed them. You know, but we also know he didn't just feed them naturally, he fed them spiritually as well. But it's interesting because, you know, I don't have time to go through all the different stories because we're running out of time, but different times where Jesus just shared love to people. Remember, you know, I've turned there, John chapter 8, it talks about that they found a woman in the middle of adultery and they brought him to Jesus. And they said, you know, the law says that we should stone this woman to death. What do you say, Jesus? And Jesus said, he without sin cast the first stone. No rocks were thrown. Jesus was drawn in the dirt, according to the word here. Not sure what he was drawn, but then he looked up and said, "Where's those guys that were accusing you of something?" Interesting part about it, he said accusing. He didn't say, you know, that he just said they're accusing you. He said, it says, didn't even one of them condemn you? And she said, no, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. You know, it's interesting because he didn't condemn the sinner. He loved her and showed mercy on her. You know, but his point was, everybody sinned. So instead of condemning each other, we need to share the love of Jesus with each other. You know, then over in Luke chapter 19, he met a man named Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. And understand, back then the tax collectors were not your typical IRS agents. They were crooks. You know, take a little for me, take a little for you. Or no, for me and for the government. Said he was a rich man. But you know, Zacchaeus was attracted to Jesus. In fact, he wanted to see him, so he climbed up a sycamore tree to see what he could see. Another song, learned in children's church. And Zacchaeus came and he said, you know, I want to go eat with you at your house. Now, his people, you know, everybody else said, you know, wait, Jesus, you can't hang around with a crook. That would hurt your image. But, you know, the crook's the one that needed Jesus. Interesting part about it, right here, in just a few quick words, Zacchaeus said he was going to give away half his fortune and pay back those people he stole from. You know, what if Jesus would have condemned them and not loved them? He probably wouldn't have done that. But you know what? Jesus loved people that some people thought were unlovable because they didn't fit in the mold. But thank God that he shared the love of Jesus with them, because really he was sharing the love of God, because God loves them. Over in Luke chapter 7, we see Jesus coming into a house. Says one of the Pharisees, see, that was the problem. He was a Pharisee. But anyway, he asked Jesus to have dinner with him. Guess he can eat dinner with Zacchaeus, he can get dinner with the Pharisee. Said so when he got there, think about it. The New Living Translation says this: a certain immoral woman brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume, knelt down at his feet, weeping, her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair, and she kept kissing his feet and putting on perfume on them. You know, when the Pharisee was like, why are you letting this woman do this? She's a sinner. And it's interesting because, you know, Jesus told a story about a person who owed money. And, you know, if you got your debt forgiven, if you owed more than the other person, then you're probably more happy than the other person because your debt was higher than them. But, you know, and he said, when I came in here, you didn't offer to wash my feet. And you have to understand, you know, people thinking, why would they wash his feet? And they, you know, think about his time. I mean, you know, he's wearing sandals and, you know, walking around in the dirt. See, I can relate because we go to dirt tracks all the time. And sometimes I wear flip-flops. You know, and after I get home, my feet are real nasty. And I don't ask my wife to wash my feet, by the way, just to let you know that. But, you know, people's feet were nasty. It was a lot of times people would wash their feet. And kind of another thing that we kind of do, some people, is some people, whenever you go to someone's house, you take your shoes off because your shoes sometimes might be nasty or whatever, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's interesting they said, well, you didn't wash my feet and you didn't even greet me with a kiss or anything. And this girl, the lady's been kissing my feet and, you know. But it doesn't matter that she was a sinner. Because, you know, she's at verse 27, 47 says, I tell you, her sins, they are many. They have been forgiven, so she showed me much love. But a person who's forgiven little shows only a little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And the men sitting among the table themselves said, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So Jesus loved the sinners. The Pharisees didn't like that. You know, the interesting part about it is the only people that I really, you know, seem to be the evil people in the Gospels were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and other people you see. And the interesting part about it is those people would be equivalent to our best Christians in church. The ones who follow everything. And they have all the rules down. The problem is they don't have the love of Jesus in their hearts. Because I don't care if you follow all the rules. Do you realize following all the rules is not going to save you anyway? It's about having the love of Jesus in your heart. Understanding what that is. You know, going on, getting closer to communion. You know, he took stripes on his back because he loved us. Now think about it. The Bible says that by his stripes we were healed. Now you realize that we attained, you know, redemption through his death on the cross, not through the stripes. The stripes were extra. Her dad calls them extra. Do you realize that Jesus went the extra mile? Not only to make sure you're the redeemed, but also make sure you're healed. By taking those stripes on the back, because he loves you that much. It's the love of Jesus. Then he's there hanging on the cross, and people are mocking him. Making fun of him. And he looks down at these people that are making fun of him, and instead of condemning them, says, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. That's the love of Jesus. You know, he didn't even, they didn't even know what he was doing. But you know, it was all prophesied. It was all supposed to happen anyway. Then here he is hanging on the cross between two thieves. One thief was making fun of him. The other thief said, you know, I mean, he doesn't even deserve this. He didn't deserve it. But Jesus did it because he loved us. So that we could get what we don't deserve. You know, an interesting part about it is, I'm not sure which side the thief was on, but he said, Jesus, remember me. I mean, all he was asking was for Jesus to just remember him in prayer. But Jesus said, I'm going to do one better. You're going to go with me. Interesting part about it, you know, this man, this thief, I'm sure lived his life immorally, full of sin. But you know what? His last breath, he asked Jesus to remember him. And he loved him that much that he took him with him. You know, it doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how far you fell. Doesn't matter, you know, that you maybe have sinned a few times, messed up a few times. The love of Jesus continues to love you and cares about you. And all you have to do is ask him to forgive you and set you free. And he will. But you know, I believe that it's our, you know, as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, that we need to share the love of Jesus with the lost and dying, hurting world. Not just with other Christians. You know, it makes me sad to see sometimes people start a church. In fact, you know, it's real popular to start churches in Tulsa if you haven't figured that out. We do encourage our graduates not to start one here. Some of them don't obey us. Because, see, people know that there are a lot of Christians here. And if anyone starts, I saw a story, an ad for the church for people who don't like churches. You know, why would you go to church if you don't like church? Because eventually you're not going to like that one either. Anyway, basically they're calling for all the troublemakers. But you know, the thing about it is, anyone start a church in Tulsa, someone would show up. In fact, I tried to get my pet dog to start a church and see who would show up, you know, put on Facebook. That's kind of a joke. But, you know, a lot of people start churches and they don't really care if they get sinners. They just want people. But recycled Christians isn't changing the world. You know, but if we'll go out and share the love of Jesus, it'll draw people. Because people flocked to Jesus. I mean, Zacchaeus was a sinner, but he still wanted to see Jesus. I mean, it's interesting how people, because, you know, I believe that people could feel the love of God. You know, and I never try to toot my own horn, but it is interesting, and I don't know if this is the reason, but it's interesting because I can walk into people's houses and their pet loves me. I don't know why. I've never met the pet. In fact, someone will say, this pet doesn't like nobody, but he likes you. I mean, I walk in places and, you know, and little kids, you know, a lot of times you think, you know, here's a big guy, I mean, kind of frightening the little kids. You're like the Jolly Green Giant or whatever. But I mean, little kids, like, you know, they all smile, they like me. I mean, it's interesting because we'll be at some kind of place and these kids mesmerize them. And I'll make faces and make them more mesmerized or whatever. But then I thought about it one time. I said, you know, maybe they just feel the love of Jesus. You know, they say animals are sensitive and so are kids. You know, animals can hear things that you can't hear with your human ear. Animals can feel things. And I just wonder, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know if they do or not, but maybe they can sense the love of Jesus on the inside of me. So maybe if animals don't like you, maybe you should do something different. Kids don't like you. I'm joking, kind of, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it is. But you know, the thing about it is we should be attracted to the world, to change the world. And it all, the only way to change the world is through love. You know, I watched a guy witness one time. Well, I'll call it witnessing. I witnessed him about getting a fight, and the police had to come. Because we were in California, and he was telling everyone they were going to hell. He kept going through different religions, so finally he hit somebody's religion, and they jumped up and challenged him. Now, what he was saying was probably the truth, but the way he said it didn't help. You know, he wasn't sharing the love of Jesus. And I think a lot of people have come to church and we got a hold of some scriptures. Scriptures are good. You memorize a bunch of them. But is that going to help if you don't understand the love of Jesus? Because Jesus Christ himself said, I don't care all the law of Moses, all the prophets, you know, basically, you can, because all the scriptures are at no use if you can't love each other. You know, I wonder how many useless Christians there are in the world. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm not here to condemn. I'm just here to let us know that it's all about the love of Jesus. And we need to be more about the love of Jesus. Show forth the love of Jesus. Everywhere we go, think about the love of Jesus. When you see people, you know, it hurts me to see people that are hurting. Just like I think, you know, it hurt Jesus to see people hurting. One thing that I don't like is when people are hurting and I can't fix it. I don't know what to do. I mean, you know, as some of you know, one of my sons have had some issues and I would like to just fix it. Even take his place. Because that's just love. That's how Jesus is. We see Jesus took our place. See, Jesus already fixed it. He's already fixed it. It's up to us just to trust him. To lean not through our understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him and he'll direct our path. But I just want to encourage each and every one of us to think more about the love of Jesus. I mean, like I said, the last few weeks, I just think about the love of Jesus. Think about how much he loves me. But you know, it doesn't do, it's good if he loves me, but it's selfish for me just to be loved by Jesus and not love the world. You know, and loving the world means the whole world, not the people you like. Not the people that are at church or the good people. Jesus loved people and he still loves people that the church world might call immoral. You know, he loves them in spite of their sins. So can you. The only way to change people is sharing the love of Jesus. And today's communion, and that's what it's all about. It's about how much Jesus loved us, and how much, you know, his love changed our life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for everything you're doing in our life. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for how Jesus showed us your love through his actions. Not only on the cross, but his actions as he walked around this earth, as he ministered, as he loved on people, as he just was sharing your love like he was ordained to do. And Father God, help us to share the love of Jesus with our lost and hurting world. Help us to go out and reach people that might seem unreachable. Father God, just give us boldness. Give us utterance. Give us words to say. Show us places to go. Thank you, Father. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here tonight or today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, that today that they'll come to that knowledge and they'll ask Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of their life. Or maybe they're here today and at one time they walked with the Lord, but they've kind of turned their back. They went away and they want to come back home. If you're here this morning and you haven't been sharing the love of Jesus with the world because you've never been saved. Or maybe at one time you were saved, but you went away and you want to rededicate your life to God this morning. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here and you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life to God, just lift your hand around the auditorium. Because Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Thank you, Father. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they shall be saved. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.